Good afternoon, everyone. In this edition of the update on this Wednesday, in the midst of that quick-moving winter storm that hit the Northeast, bringing significant snowfall to some areas while others got less, the schools in the city of New York went online instead of calling a snow day. It didn't go very well. In the midst of it all, voters were electing the replacement for George Santos, and it was won by Democrat Tom Suozzi. He defeated Republican Mozzie Philip. A person with knowledge of these details say that the Knicks are filing a protest of their loss in Houston that ended on a foul call that officials say was incorrect. In Washington, the House has voted to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over the Biden administration's handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. And people are often looking for ways to stop using single-use plastics in an effort to help the environment, which sometimes make people wary of using zip-top bags. The people at Ziploc, they are weighing in. This is the update on Valentine's Day, Wednesday, February the 14th, 2024. Celebrating 6 years of telling New York's stories. From the Tommy Lynn stage at the Urban Dove Charter School in Brooklyn, New York, broadcasting across the nation and around the world. This is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Wednesday, another hump day in the month of February for us around here, but it's not just any hump day, it's Valentine's Day, the day of love. Hopefully you're spending it, or will spend it, with your significant other, and if you don't have a significant other, that's just fine, too. Take some time to love yourself, because what's the thing that people say? You need to love yourself before you can love others. Of course, many people on this day will send people those big red hearts filled, as Jim Gaffigan would say, the gamble chocolate. You know, personally speaking, has anybody ever sent one of those chocolates to anybody with any confidence? You're like, well, this is either going to be really good or this is going to be horribly nasty. And personally, you know, I'm just picking up to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. It's going to take me 9 others to get rid of that flavor. There's the big red hearts filled with the gamble chocolate. There's also the tiny heart-shaped antacids. I know I make you nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. I don't know anything else about Saint Valentine either. I assume he's the overpriced patron of overpriced greeting cards. Like, you ever walk into one of those stores and be like, hey, that sounds like something I would say. Let's put my name on it. Here you go. You like what that other guy wrote in there? It took me 30 seconds to find it. Cost me about $2. Oh, Valentine's Day is going to be fun, hopefully, for you out there. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. You know, we appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Wednesday's proceedings with the fallout from that winter storm yesterday. It closed the New York City public schools, but they had a remote day instead of a good old-fashioned snow day. It didn't go very well. We'll talk about that in a moment. But that quick-moving winter storm that hit the Northeast yesterday brought significant snowfall to some areas, while others got less than expected. Accidents were reported on the slippery roads, airline flights were canceled or delayed, and many school districts closed or switched to remote learning, or at least tried to switch. Some areas of Pennsylvania and Connecticut were blanketed in about 15 inches of snow, while Central Park only saw about 3 inches. And that honestly leads us into New York City schools the other day. 4 years, of course, after COVID first sent students and teachers in online learning, some school systems across this country are returning to the method during inclement winter weather. They're afraid of doing so in place of scheduling old-fashioned snow days. As a major snowstorm, winter storm, hit the Northeast, New York City attempted, for the first time since the pandemic, to return to remote learning. And as I previously mentioned, it didn't go very well. It got waylaid by technology glitches. This remote day was criticized by many. School systems in Boston and Hartford, Connecticut, among many others, took a different tack and just simply closed for the day. Like we mentioned, Central Park saw it the snowiest day they've had in more than 2 years, as 3.2 inches of snow blanketed the trees, the statues, and the walkways in white. Pedestrians posed for selfies against the backdrop, and parents and kids spent the day on sleds, building snowmen and throwing snowballs. The National Weather Service says the snowfall was the largest since January 29th of 2022, when Central Park measured more than 7 inches of snow. Since then, just 2 snowfalls of more than an inch have been recorded, 1.6 inches on February 13th of 2022, and 1.3 inches on January 16th, which was just last month. In the midst of it all, Decision 2024, there was a special election being held to fill the seat that was vacated by George Santos being kicked out of Congress. It was between Tom Suozzi, the Democrat, and Mazie Philip, the Republican. And Suozzi, in the end, was the victor. He's now going to represent a district that includes parts of Long Island and the borough of Queens in the city of New York. Philip was a Nassau County legislator. And the win for Suozzi, it narrows the already thin margin the Republicans currently have in the House. The race was also closely monitored for clues about suburban voter sentiment heading into the election campaign in November nationwide. Suozzi previously represented the district for 3 terms but gave up the seat during the unsuccessful run for governor in 2022. Santos, of course, was expelled from Congress after he was indicted. He's pled not guilty to charges of fraud and stealing from donors, among other crimes. Flight attendants for the major airlines were holding rallies at airports across the country yesterday to push for higher pay. The protests were not, however, a strike. Federal law makes it difficult for the airline unions to go on strike. Flight attendants, they're frustrated that pilots won huge pay raises last year, while they continue to work for wages that, in some cases, have not increased in several years. The protests are being organized by 3 unions that represent cabin crews at American, United, Southwest, and several smaller airlines. Back here in the city limits, the NYPD, they've made no arrests, but they say that there were 3 shooters in that deadly fight that turned into gunfire on that subway car in the Bronx during the Monday evening rush. Police revealed some more details about the shooting yesterday that spilled over into the Mount Eden station, saying that they recovered 19 shell casings. One 35-year-old man was shot in the chest and later died. Those who survived ranged in age from 14 to 71 and are expected to recover from their wounds. Police said that they suspect members of rival gangs got on the train at different stops and then got into a dispute. In other news, we've learned that David Bouley, the award-winning chef whose idiosyncratic hot cuisine and crusty breads pleased critics and the public during a career chasing deliciousness, he's died at the age of 70, according to his literary agent, who says he died at his Connecticut home. Along with Daniel Boulud, Alain Dusassi, and Jean-Georges von Grechten, Bouley was part of a culinary vanguard in the 80s that created the new American style and turned fine dining into an expressive art form, leading to the rise of rock star chefs. Bouley spent much of his career cooking in Tribeca in Manhattan, starting at Montserrat when it opened in 1985, earning 3 stars from the New York Times, and then his own restaurant, Bouley. And finally, it was Shimmer and Glimmer, with a dash of the majestic, it was on display on Monday, as Tory Burch showed her 2024 fall-winter collection at New York Fashion Week. Inspired by ordinary objects like a lampshade or a well-worn coat, Burch set out to redefine the form of her designs with this collection. Models walked the long, narrow runway of the New York Public Library, showing variations of Burch's concept, including faux croc tops and skirts, along with tinsel raffia coats and dresses. Burch said, quote, "I really thought about, really thought a lot about working on fabrics that created shape, and whether it's through technique of bonding or seam sealing, but having the fabric be really featherweight and adhere to the body with a lot of stretch." Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Valentine's Day, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and how the Knicks might have a case for their loss in Houston. Apparently, the game that ended on those foul calls was apparently incorrect. We'll talk briefly the latest national news. The House, they voted to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over the Biden administration's handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. And at the end of the broadcast today, people, of course, are often looking for ways to stop using those single-use plastics in an effort to help the environment, which sometimes makes people wary of using zip-top bags. The people at Ziploc, of course, they're weighing in. Gonna talk about this and more, of course, when the update with Brian and Julian on Valentine's Day 2024 returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council. Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, it's a big holiday tradition, you know, it's fruitcake. I love all the holiday traditions, as Jim Gaffigan once said. You know, like the Christmas tree. My birthday's right next to Christmas. Christmas tree, you know, we go chop a tree, we go put it in our living room. Sometimes I think that's the creation of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up, honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room? I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus. And then I'm gonna hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy. Maybe I can tie some leaves to a ceiling, see if I can get some action. And now I'm gonna puke on this couch. Merry Christmas. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX-18B, B-60, M-116, Q-4, Q-4 Limited, S-46, and S-96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S-79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So let's face it, the Brooklyn Nets have not exactly been having the greatest season out there. They're just behind in the standings to get into the play-in tournament, if the season were to end today. Nets and Celtics going at it at Barclays Center. Jason Tatum had 41 with 14 boards. And the Celtics won their fifth in a row by beating Brooklyn 118-110 in the opener of a home-and-home series. Jaylen Brown added 19 for the Celtics, who improved to 42-12 and will host the Nets tonight, actually, in the final game for both teams before the All-Star break. Tatum tied his career high for points in the first half with 31, and the Celtics led comfortably much of the way while playing without Kristaps Porzingis because of a lower back contusion. Coach Joe Mazzella said that Boston's starting center could play tonight. Meanwhile, the Knicks are just flaming mad because of what happened at the end of their game against the Rockets. A person with knowledge of these details says that the Knicks are filing a protest of their loss that ended on a foul call that officials say was incorrect. The Rockets beat the Knicks 105-103 on Monday night after Aaron Holiday made two free throws with 0.3 seconds remaining after he was fouled by Jalen Brunson beyond the three-point arc. Crew chief Ed Malloy said after the game that the contact between the players was marginal and no foul should have been called. So the Knicks are filing a protest with the NBA. This person told the AP on the condition of anonymity because there was no actual announcement made. And from the hardwood, let's go over to the ice. Islanders and the Kraken going at it at UBS Arena. Thomas Tatterstall scored the lone goal in the shootout, and the Kraken beat the Isles 2-1. Matty Beniers scored in regulation, Philip Gruber made 26 saves, and the Kraken snapped a three-game losing streak. Kyle Palmieri scored, and Ilya Sorokin stopped 29 shots in the Isles' second straight loss. Tatter used a series of dekes and a forehand shot to beat Sorokin. Islanders forwards Oliver Wahrstrom, Bo Horvat, and Matthew Barzal were all denied in the shootout. National news, at least a brief taste of it. It is next for us around here, of course, when the update of Brain and Julian on Valentine's Day 2024 continues. Checking sports, from New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you're listening to podcasts.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, Valentine's Day coming up, we surprise the ones we love with those big red hearts, you know, filled with the gamble chocolate. Think about it. Has anybody ever eaten any chocolate of those with any confidence? You're like, oh, this is either going to be really good or horribly nasty. Guess I'm just big enough to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. Gonna take another 9 of those to get rid of that flavor. You know, there's a big red heart filled with the gamble chocolate. Otherwise, there's the tiny heart-shaped antacids. I know I make you nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update of Brandon Julian on a Wednesday, everyone. Another hump day in the month of February for us around here. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. Very briefly, we're just picking, very hand-picking, a little bit to tell you what's happening, the latest national news. We're going to begin in Washington, where the House, they have voted to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over the Biden administration's handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. In a historic rebuke of a sitting cabinet secretary, the Republican majority was determined to try again to impeach Mayorkas after having failed last week. Last night's vote was tight, even with the arrival of Majority Leader Steve Scalise, has been away from Washington for cancer care. Speaker Mike Johnson's threadbare majority could not spare defections or absences in the face of staunch Democratic opposition. President Biden called the impeachment of Mayorkas a, quote, blatant act of unconstitutional partisanship and has targeted an honorable public servant in order to play petty political games. Authorities say that arrests for illegal crossings on the border, the U.S. border with Mexico, fell by half in January from record highs in December to the third lowest month of Joe Biden's presidency. The sharp drop is welcome news for the White House, even if it proves temporary, as immigration becomes one of the biggest issues in this year's presidential election, with exit polls showing that it is a top concern among many Republican voters in the early primaries. As we just said before, the news on the border crossings comes the same day that House Republicans voted to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary, for his oversight of the border. In a historic rebuke of a sitting cabinet secretary, the Republican majority was determined to try again impeach Mayorkas after having failed last week. Last night's vote was tight, even with the arrival of Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who's been away from Washington for cancer care. Speaker Mike Johnson's threadbare majority could not spare defections or absences in the face of staunch Democratic opposition. President Biden has called the impeachment of Mayorkas, quote, a blatant act of unconstitutional partisanship that has targeted an honorable public servant in order to play petty political games. Down in the heart of Texas, in Houston, Texas, authorities there say that they're reviewing how the shooter who opened fire at the megachurch was able to legally purchase and obtain the AR-style rifle used in the attack, despite a years-long criminal record and a history of mental illness. Public records show that Genesee Moreno faced several charges over the years, including for theft, forgery, and assault. However, a local prosecutor says a misdemeanor conviction for unlawfully carrying a weapon wouldn't have prevented her, under state law, from purchasing more guns. Moreno, who's 36 years old, opened fire in celebrity pastor Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church on Sunday before being gunned down by security officers. The stingray, a stingray, I should say, that has lived for years in a North Carolina aquarium without a male companion, is now pregnant. The animal is named Charlotte and is expected to give birth in the next 2 weeks. Brenda Raymer is the executive director of the aquarium and shark lab in the Blue Ridge mountain town of Hendersonville. She says that Charlotte has experienced parthenogenesis. In case you don't speak science, that's a type of asexual reproduction in which offspring develop from unfertilized eggs. The rare phenomenon can occur in various animals, although it doesn't happen in mammals. Recent examples have included California condors, Komodo dragons, and yellow-bellied water snakes. And out in the American West in Oregon, officials there this week reported a case of bubonic plague in a resident who likely got the disease from a sick pet cat. The infected resident and the resident's close contacts have all been provided medication, according to public health officials, and people in the community are not believed to be at risk. The cat was treated, but sadly did not survive. Plague, surprisingly, isn't common, but it also isn't unheard of in the western part of this country, where a handful of cases occur every year. For those who don't know what plague is, it's an infectious disease that can affect animals. It's caused by the bacterium Yersinia pestis, which is carried by rodents and fleas. Plague symptoms can manifest in a few ways. Bubonic plague, the kind contracted by the Oregon resident, happens when the plague bacteria gets into the lymph nodes. It causes fever, headache, weakness, and painful swollen lymph nodes. It usually happens from the bite of an infected flea, according to the CDC. People we know, they're looking for ways to help the environment, which makes them wary. Some people wear them using zip-top bags. And the good people at Ziploc are weighing in. Going to talk about this because your honorable mention is next. When the update brings Julian on a Valentine's Day returns in just a moment.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, if you really do think about it, in this day and age, it's a good thing that we can't report people that we don't like to 911 or the police. Could you imagine how that call would go?
You know, it'd be like 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, that lady Carol is at the barbecue again. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Wednesday, everyone. Happy hump day to all of you out there, and a happy Valentine's Day if you just happen to be celebrating. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, we have just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. You know, on this Valentine's Day, many people, of course, are celebrating with their significant other. But if you are by yourself, remember, I think somebody wise once said, you have to love yourself before you can love somebody else. And, like, you know, for people who have been doing this thing for a long time, like I have, it can be hard to keep things fresh sometimes. By the way, this is none of what I'm about to say is accurate or real. It's just for, you know, the yuck's sake. You know, with there are times you and a partner will be like, let's just go on a date. That's me and you can go, let's go on a date. Some people be like, we can't. We're essentially married. Unless you're talking about with other people, and I don't think you are. And they, yes, we can go on a date. Like, no, we cannot go on a date. Because A, I'm not going to pick the restaurant. Because I'm going to ask you, where do you want to eat? Where you want to eat? Like, I don't care. All right, how about Italian? I'm not going to get to put the movie, and there's a really good chance at the end of it all, I'm not going to get lucky. That's not a date. Of course, it can be like that for some people out there. But, you know, what do I know? Apparently, I'm just an old fart just yelling at a cloud. I don't have a good transition for this. I'm sorry. from romance to Ziploc bags. That's the transition we're going with. I'm sorry. You know, many people. God. Let me try that again. You know, many people are often looking for ways to stop using single-use plastics in an effort to help the environment. God, I gotta try that again. People are often looking for ways to stop using single-use plastics in an effort to help the environment, which sometimes makes people aware of using zip-top bags. Contrary, though, to popular belief, these bags can be reused, and according to the good people at Ziploc, they can be reused several times. Quotes on the words, several. A spokesperson for the brand told People magazine in a statement, quote, because Ziploc brand bags are made with high-quality recyclable materials that are strong enough to be used again, our bags can be reused several times. The brand recommends cleaning the bags before reusing them by hand washing them with soap and then air drying them. But Ziploc bags shouldn't always be reused. Some circumstances still call for them to be thrown in the trash. Like any bag that contains raw meat, fish, eggs, potentially allergy-triggering foods, spoiled foods, etc., should be tossed to avoid a food safety issue, the spokesperson clarified. Anything with clingy sauces that stick to the bag will be hard to clean and reuse. There's no exact number how many times a Ziploc baggie can be reused, but storing dry foods and foods that are easy to clean and rinse will allow the bag to last longer. However, the Ziploc brand has solutions for times when stronger bags are necessary. According to the company website, quote, all Ziploc brand containers and microwavable Ziploc brand bags meet the safety requirements of the FDA for temperatures associated with defrosting and reheating food in microwave ovens, as well as room, refrigerator, and freezer temperatures. Their endurable line of both pouches and containers are dishwasher safe and can be used again and again. They're also good to use in for any temperature from the freezer to the oven. Ziploc Endurables can sustain temperatures up to 425 degrees Fahrenheit, while Ziploc freezer bags can withstand temperatures from negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit to 176 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, speaking of Valentine's Day, still, just to wrap things up, you know, for many people out there, they're going to get those big red hearts filled with the so-called gamble chocolate. Theoretically, though, has anybody ever eaten a chocolate out of those with any confidence? You're looking in like, well, this is either going to be really good or this is going to be horribly nasty. But hell, I'm just curious enough to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. It's going to take me another 9 of those to get rid of that flavor. There's the big red heart filled with the gamble chocolate. There's only the tiny chalk-shaped antacids. I know personally I make you nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. I know nothing new about Saint Valentine. As Jim Gaffigan once said, I assume he's the patron of overpriced greeting cards. Ever seen those cards in those Hallmark stores? You're like, huh, oh, this sounds like something I would say. Just gotta write my name in it. Here you go. You like what that other person wrote in there? It cost me 30 seconds to find it. It cost me $2. Greeting cards are not exactly slogan machines, you know. You never see a card that's like, Happy Birthday! You couldn't think of that yourself? Not a slogan machine. I'll let you guys ponder on this, however, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Wednesday, February the 14th, 2024. As the update on this Valentine's Day, I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us, one step closer to a week vacation for President's Week. So until the next time we get together, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And let's talk about what's happening in the news world. On tomorrow's edition, the update. See you then.